I'm not sure if buyers rushed back to the grain markets or if the sellers just simply went on strike. Either way, the end result, solid gains in the grain markets and enough upside momentum for all the ag markets that even feeder cattle closed higher.
Live from the land of the fleeting sunsplash via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature a conversation with the man that puts the G in G-Wiz from Advanced Trading, Tommy Grisafi. And right after the news, Varsity Joe Vaklovic from Standard Grain. I am handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
How did you rate? How do you get a splash of sunlight? You know, I don't think I've even had that.
It came and went.
Yeah.
And that's all she wrote.
It's a little chilly. It's a little gloomy out there right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Even some of the more aggressive producers that I know, I've gotten a couple of messages today. One of them was, I won't even plant beans today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm sitting here in my broadcast bunker just working away, and I thought, you know, I should get some light in here. Let me go open the curtains.
Sure.
The curtains were already open.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Turn on a lamp for crying out loud.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Hey, if you want to warm up, though, look at those red hot grain markets, dude.
Huh? I like that. Woo. I like it.
Man, smoking. They closed off the highs. Wheat. The July HRW contract lost more than half of its gains by the closing bell.
Yep.
And still posted an upside reversal.
Not too shabby.
That's why everybody's happy, right? Right. That one you don't see every day. That's for sure. But solid gains. The way that the product markets work together to help pull soybeans higher today, really an impressive move. I'm not sure about the volume, if it was a good volume. That's why I said in the open, I'm not sure if buyers came rushing back into the market or if the sellers just kind of went on strike. We'll find out from Joe coming up here in just a little bit. Okay, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, July SRW wheat futures opened lower and fell back to test selling interest below yesterday's low. Finding none, futures boomeranged on spillover support from sharp gains in corn and soybean futures. New crop soft red futures traded to a new contract high at 679.5 before giving back more than half of the day's gains in afternoon trade. Hard red futures did not come close to a new contract high, but the market did post an upside reversal. Fundamental support was pulled from the freezing temperatures expected in southern HRW areas over the next 48 hours. And more traders are paying attention to the escalating conflict between Russia and Ukraine. July hard red winter wheat 9.25 cents higher, 628. July soft red gained 7.5 cents, 661.25. September spring wheat 7 cents higher, 683.5, Chip.
Yeah, and the Minneapolis 22 crop contracts were trading over $7, and then you got the March at 689 on the close, and so well off session highs in that spring wheat market too.
USDA this morning announced the sale of just over 114,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to Mexico in the current marketing year. Combined with increasing stress on the Safrinha corn crop in Brazil, and sellers basically avoided the corn market today. Old and new crop corn posted new contract highs and new contract high closes. Adding supporter reports that U.S. consumers are back to driving at least the same number of miles they were leading up to COVID shutdowns. That's raising expectations of stronger corn for ethanol demand. May corn futures 14.5 cents higher, 606.5. July corn gained 11.5 to close at 592. December corn closed at 528.5, up 8.25 on the day. Chip, corn conga with me, won't you?
It's good to hear the conga again. No question about it. Look at that 5.25 D's new crop corn futures. That has got to be catching some attention out there. We'll talk to Tommy about that coming up here in a little bit.
old and new crop bean futures pushed out to new contract highs and new contract high closes. That will keep momentum with market bulls for the near term. Very tight supplies of veg oils around the globe helped nearby bean oil futures surge to new contract highs. May bean meal futures have posted three consecutive higher closes above $400. And chart watchers are again targeting resistance at the April spike high of 433 and 20. Strong soybean basis levels across the country also serve as a reminder that cash market bean supplies are very tight. May bean futures 22 and a quarter cents higher, 1472. July beans surged 21 and a quarter to 1457 and three quarters. November bean futures closed at 1299 and a half. Up 15 and a half cents, Chip. We need one more half cent. Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
Is that all we really need? Yeah.
Then I'll have everything.
1308 and a quarter is the contract high in November soybean futures now. And I would imagine that that first move above $13 may have triggered some automatic sales in that new crop bean contract.
Fair enough. Well, May cotton was 51 points higher, 83.77. December cotton jumped 56 to 83.06. On the livestock side, solid beef demand helped live cattle futures erase early price losses. June live cattle 60 cents higher, 119.20. October cattle jumped $1.20, 123.45. May feeders up 30 cents, 142.77 and one half. And the upside recovery from last week's sell-off in lean hog futures continued, baby! The upside recovery continues. May lean hogs 242 and a half higher, 108.07 and a half. June hogs jumped 202 and one half, 106.35. Oh, it feels good.
Impressive moves, no doubt about it. Thank you, Davis. Joe Vaklavik, Standard Grain, joins us right now. How you doing, Joe?
Doing good. How are you, Chip?
Doing just fine, just fine. What are you watching? Charts, momentum, weather? What are you watching most closely?
A lot of things. I think ethanol is really interesting. We had a huge rally in the ethanol market yesterday. Ethanol futures gained, I think, 13 cents per gallon, and they were up again today. So that's like 7% over the course of 2 days. That's an enormous rally. There were some rumors yesterday that China was in the market for U.S. ethanol or had perhaps actually purchased some U.S. ethanol. So as Davis alluded to earlier, you know, you've got increased driving habits here in the U.S. You've got the lowest ethanol stocks seasonally in, I think, 7 years, and you've got ethanol prices surging. So not only are we going to see less demand from the U.S. ethanol industry for corn, I think we're actually going to see more, despite the fact that prices are at, what, 6 or 7 year highs in corn.
Yeah, interesting. So I asked the question in the open, and I'm going to ask Tommy the same question when we get into the conversation here in a little bit. Did buyers come back to the market, or was it just a lack of selling interest in the market today, Joe?
Well, you don't have the natural seller in the old crop corn and soybean markets like you typically do. I mean, the farmer is just a very light holder of old crop corn and soybeans relative to any year that we've seen maybe since 2013. So that has enabled this rally. The new crop deal has something to do with acreage, certainly, and I think that farmers are probably interested, certainly, in making sales out there. But gosh, this thing's really phenomenal. The money flow here is phenomenal. We are almost guaranteed to see a new all-time record long position in the corn market from CFTC on Friday.
Yeah, you know, we didn't. We're out of time. The fact that the livestock markets came back and closed higher today with the equities under as much pressure as they were, I thought was pretty impressive as well. So lots going on out there, Joe. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Yep, see you, Chip. Bye.
You bet. Joe Vaklavik, Standard Grain. Coming up next, Tommy Grisafi, Advanced Trading, right here on AgriTalk. You might already know that POET produces 2 billion gallons of bioethanol and 5 million tons of high-protein Dakota Gold animal feed each year. But did you also know that POET uses the same process to produce a suite of other bioproducts, like purified alcohol for cosmetics and sanitizing products, renewable CO2, and oil for renewable diesel? The market for green products made from crops harvested right here in the Midwest is growing at an unprecedented rate, and that means even more reliable domestic demand for your grain. Farmers aren't just feeding and fueling the world, they are growing sustainable solutions that protect the environment and preserve our way of life for future generations. poet believes in the power of agriculture to meet the world's most pressing needs. Learn more at poet.com/products.
AgriTalk is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, a national partnership to help farmers scale conservation for their businesses, the environment, and their communities. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on a breeze. Baby, get ready.
Somebody say crickets?
I don't know, but I thought I heard one.
Crickets are shining in the lightning bird. Something like that. That's how it goes.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson.
Hello.
Davis.
And, thanks for the Jiminy there. That was quite good.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah.
That's one of the few organic sounds I actually make, you know.
Everything else like, is a fun button?
Pretty much. For example, this one.
Yeah.
No cats were harmed in the making of that soundbite. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You'll be happy to know.
Everybody likes to hear that. Nice. Solid gains in the grain markets today.
Great
and even
day.
Livestock futures closed higher. Equity trade was interesting today. We've got the Dow off 300 points. The NASDAQ, triple-digit losses there in the NASDAQ. I saw that. So it's... It was interesting that we had the equities under as much pressure as they were, and livestock mm-hmm. futures still found a way to push to the upside. We may get into some of that conversation here in just a little bit with Tommy Grassafi. Tommy's with Advanced Trading, joins us right now. Tommy, it's good to talk with you again. How are you, man?
Good, Chip. Hi, Davis.
Hello, Tommy. Welcome.
All right. So... The open of the show, I asked the question or made the statement, I don't know if it was a lack of selling or if the buyers came rushing back in here. Joe made the point that, hey, you know what? The natural seller in the old crop is basically out of supplies. So he's not going to be stepping in. The farmers are going to be stepping in and selling in that old crop market. It was a fascinating day, Tommy, to watch the whole thing develop.
It caught me off guard in the sense that sometimes you come into work thinking it'll be busy, you're ready for it. I came into work with the mental mindset it's going to be slow today, and how embarrassing, because it's hard to get caught up once it goes. So I remember I went to go to the bathroom once, and corn went from up 8 to up 13. So what did we learn today? Keep a coffee can in your office. you just can't keep your eyes off this market, and that's... We're starting to trade like Bitcoin or Dogecoin or something else, but yet we're a contract that's been around for, I don't know, 160, 170 years. I don't even know, a long time. This isn't new, corn futures and bean futures. But, you know, one interesting thing, if I could tell you a story, is I was at a restaurant bar in Fargo. I have an apartment in Fargo. And the bartender said, what are you doing? It was Sunday. I said, I got to drive to my office. I got to place a couple orders, trade a little corn tonight. And he said, oh, yeah, see all these kids at the bar? It was the cook, the waitress, the server, the this, the that. Yeah, they all trade Dogecoin and Bitcoin. And it just really got me thinking that here's a group of 20-some-year-olds who they also traded GameStop. There's a whole group of people that are involved in markets. Now, they're not quite yet there in corn and beans. I don't think these kids have access to those markets. But, boy, Chip and everyone listening, there's a lot of money out there. A year ago today, crude oil traded negative 47. We're $100 higher. It is a different world we're living in.
That was a year ago today, Tommy.
Yeah. I saw someone put out a tweet 1 year ago today, and then CNBC just had a special on us trying to snap a picture and send it to you. But they showed a chart, $100 off the lows. Obviously, that was the May crude. You had to deliver it. We had 50 grand in their account who had found out they were a $9 million debit the next day. I mean, just crazy things. It was 2020, and they didn't have the software to go negative. So here we go. You got to think, to the listener out there, if you're listening, I know you are because you tune in the show every afternoon. Let's not have too cavalier of an attitude. A year ago today, we traded negative 47 crude. Now we don't want to hedge 530 corn because we think it's going higher. I mean, of course we think it's going higher. The price action today made you think it's going to go up forever. But you know what tipped me off today that was interesting? Lumber. Lumber is limit down right now.
Yes.
And it was limit up. It was double limit up, and it is now double limit down. And things can change that fast. I never knew why it was going up, and I can't exactly tell you why it's not, but right now there's 300 lumber contracts offered limit down, and you get a couple of days of that, and you get a couple more down days in the Dow. It's a good time to lay off risk.
Yeah. Yeah, that lumber market, I've been trying to figure out exactly what is involved in that market right now, and the logs are as cheap as they've ever been, Tommy. It's absolutely amazing to me. But just the lack of processing is pushing that lumber market to the upside. And then you throw in everything that happened down in Texas with the repairs that need to happen after the winter and just general repairs. And then the housing market, the dang thing is just as hot as it's ever been, Tommy. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. So I think what may be happening, and I've got to continue to track what's going on there, but I think what's starting to happen is we're starting to bring some of the sawmills back online, and we're going to see some more lumber produced from the huge supply of logs that is out there right now. So hopefully that
will start. Think of the motivation for them to produce anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
crazy. It's like killing cattle. If you could, if you can buy cattle for $120 and make $600 a head on them, you want to buy every cattle that you can buy, you know. I would think, so if they're gonna ramp up the production on the lumber, then I would think that they're gonna make less per tree, but they're gonna make more in volume going forward. So we'll see. Anyway, I got to hear your overall attitude towards the grain markets. I heard your warning. I heard your warning loud and clear. We can't think that this thing's going to go straight up forever, but the fundamentals in this market, Tommy, it's a different cat that we're dealing with than what we were dealing with a year ago at this time.
100% correct. So what we're dealing with, the biggest problem I can see is I talked to a friend at an ethanol company, and Joe was touching about what happened on ethanol and that the price went up. That's really great for them. There are ethanol plants right now looking to buy trains of corn, and they can't get them. So what's something worth that we don't have? And right now, and maybe the corn's out there. So I will play both sides of the fence and say there's actual grain out there. But the United States government's given the American farmers so much money. I have a client who was struggling financially a year ago. He's still holding 100,000 bushels of corn, and it's $6 cash in his neighborhood today. But he doesn't need the money. And he said, this is my chance to sell $6, $6.50, $7 corn. And the difference that he could have sold that corn a year ago in the low threes, and now he's getting six. I mean, do the math. It's 300 grand. That'll patch a guy up financially real quick. So
you bet.
How much grain is left versus how strong are the farmers' hands, and how empty are the bins versus that last 7,000 bushels of beans, the last 20,000 bushels of this? I think it's out there, Chip, but I don't think there's any price the farmer will sell it. And what I think is going to have to happen is it'll take a limit or two down day to create selling. Now, I know that sounds weird because you'd say you sell high and you buy low. Psychologically, remember like when the NASDAQ broke in 2000, all these people who were long tech stocks were never going to get out. Right now it's happening in Bitcoin. They're never going to get out because it's going to a million, allegedly. And so there's no price I think you could wiggle out corn, wheat, or wheat maybe, you know. But there's still some wheat left out there. But the corn, we don't know what's out there. That's the number one problem. And the USDA kind of tipped their hand a few reports ago, and then this acreage report saying, well, a few reports ago, several months ago when we went limit up and traded 20 cents past that. And the biggest shocker was the acreage report, obviously. So are you telling me that the American farmer can't produce enough corn? I know they can, but maybe Mother Nature won't cooperate, and that's what's scaring the heck out of me. If we have a weather problem, Chip, it won't be good.
Okay. So that means it's time for me to ask the question that I've been trying to ask people, and it started last week. Here's a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being record yields for corn and soybeans, and 10 being 2012-like conditions. what is your level of weather anxiety for 2021?
Where I'm sitting today, I'm sitting in outside of Fargo. And when I look out my window, the grass is brown. And it's mm-hmm. April. So April showers are supposed to bring May flowers. There's no April showers. So when you look at the drought map, and you look at North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, go the other way, go more Montana. Then you look mm-hmm. at the drought map in Canada. From where I'm sitting in the northern plains, concern for drought's a 9 right now, 9 out of 10. That there are supposed to have been wheat seeded weeks ago, that people aren't going to seed the wheat till they have moisture, but they know from a crop insurance standpoint they really should seed something. They may try to switch the beans if they can get the seed. We are literally waiting for moisture to plant. And that's not something we're used to doing. So up here, I'm extremely concerned, very nervous, not about selling at a great price, but about...
We're going to talk about what that concern means for risk management strategies when we come back. Tommy Grisafi, right here on AgriTalk. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. U.S. March bean exports to China up threefold from year ago. Pro Farmer consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier cuts Brazilian corn crop projection. He's worried about the dry pattern there. Brazil suspends import duties on soybeans, corn, soybean meal, and soybean oil through year end. Suspends the import duties. If we're wondering how tight supplies are around the globe, that should tell you something. Brazilian livestock and poultry producers hike corn imports, and that's why they're doing it. There is little change in Pro Farmer's weekly winter wheat crop condition index ratings. Putin blocks key Biden administration officials from Russia. U.S. ambassador to Russia is returning home, and Biden to make another 22,000 visas available under H-2B. Try ProFarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Dallaro Complete. Keep your operation moving forward with Dallaro Complete from Bayer.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory, talking with Tommy Grisafi, Advanced Trading today. Before we get back to Tommy Davis, if you would, please.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip, July, hard red winter wheat, 9 1/4 cents higher, 6.28. September spring wheat, 7 cents higher, 6.83 1/2. May corn futures, 14 1/2 cents higher, 6.06 1/2, baby. Whoa. December corn closed at 5.28 1/2, up 8 1/4 cents. May soybean futures, 22 1/4 cents higher, 14.72. November bean futures closed at 12.99 1/2, up 15 1/2 today. May cotton, 51 points higher, 83.77. June live cattle were 60 cents higher, 119.20. May feeders gained 30 cents to 142.77 1/2. And June lean hogs scampered 202 1/2 higher to 106.35. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right. Yeah. Ad Hawkeye Hamer's out doing some work today. He says that field conditions are unmoist.
Unmoist.
Unmoist. AgriTalk just replied to him and said they're unwarm, too.
Oh, we could use a little unmoistification around here.
Yes. Yes.
We need
we
to
could.
Demoistify this whole deal.
I think we'd take a shot of rain.
All right.
It's also unbright, according to Hawkeye.
Right. It is unbright. It's not non-unbright, is what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, Tommy, all this weather uncertainty, we've got dry conditions, you know, across a wide area of the Western Belt. Now, eastern Nebraska down into Kansas picked up some relief here a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how long that's going to last. I don't know how long that's going to stick around. I'm not sure how much long-term benefit we got from that precept, because they had a deficit that they had to correct there first. So with all this uncertainty, especially in the Western Belt, the northern production areas, how do you manage risk in here?
Depending on where your client is, or your friend, or your, you know, there's people listening to your show from all over the country and Canada and all over the world, I hope. But you have to take each situation individually. And you have to, when we sign up a client, you have to fill out this document called a Know Your Customer. And it's really important to know your customer. And what's going to happen is the markets are going to move so fast. If you work with 100 people, you're going to want to, say, buy a put or make a cash sale for all 100 people, and you won't be able to get a hold of them. So you have to get started somewhere. And so you got a couple choices. Do nothing, which has worked really well. Sell something and then live in fear of missing out as we go higher, or protect something, and that would be more of a put option. You can sell and have ownership of calls and call options. Anyone who knows how to look up options or has live trading platforms, or go to cmegroup.com and Google corn option, bean option, wheat option, you can see what they cost. You are going to have sticker shock when you see what these options cost. Yeah. That's volatility. Volatility's cranked up. The markets are anticipating big moves. You need to get started at some point. Now, people up here are scared to get started because they haven't planted yet. So you have to, the basics of risk management is just the general put, and that's nothing new. And it works, and I hope your puts expire worthless and you grow a record crop. That'd be great.
Right.
But to get America to produce a record crop, you would think we'd have price pressure. Could demand be so great and stocks so low that we could produce a big crop and continue to go higher? It's possible.
Yeah.
We've seen things that we've never seen before. So you have to, as the person listening, and I know Joe does a great job. One thing Joe Baklevic pointed out a few years ago when we had all those prevent plan acres, mm-hmm. and I know this, and I told my customers this today. I don't like to be long when the funds are long this much. So Tom Grisafia, a trader who owns a seat at the board, scares the heck out of me. I could not go home long at night because
right.
you could just wake up in the morning, something could happen, and we could be lock limit down.
Right.
But the farmer goes home long every night. So you need to set a floor, do it with the sale, do it with the put option. You don't need a broker to do this. You could do this yourself. But if you want help, ask for help and do something. So something actionable needs to happen. You need to start somewhere. I think this is a very crucial next couple of weeks. One thing Gordy Lynn from Lynn Group always used to say, or Roy Huckabee, is it's really hard to ruin a crop in May. When that corn plant's in the bag, or when that corn plant and corn seed's in the bag, you can't ruin it yet, Chip. It's still right. kind of early. It's April.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Where,
the only way you can ruin it
month?
At that point is by opening the bag.
That's what they always say. Your best yield is right there, right as you open that bag. It only goes down from there. Yep. So do something.
Yeah,
and grains aren't set up like the stock market. So the stock market's set up to go up. That's just kind of over the history what it does. Over the history, go on to barchart.com and just Google monthly of the commodity that you're growing, whether it be canola, wheat, corn, beans, and then hit a yearly. And some of these markets have a lot more room to go up. I think spring wheat could go up a ton. And the options market's reflecting that. Corn has potential. We have December 6, 8, 9, and $10 calls listed. So how do you keep that upside open? You got to fight for it, Chip. We're in a world commodity bull market, and you make a ton of money owning stuff, but you and I both know people who went broke the last 5 or 6 years because they own too much stuff for too long. I'm of the camp, when someone wants to buy your stuff, sell it to them and move on.
Well, they certainly want to buy it right now when you look at the basis levels out there across the country. And I'm talking primarily about the old crop, but it's getting into the new crop too, Tommy. And I'm not willing at this point to sit here and say this is going to be the best basis that is going to be available to you on 2021 crop, but I am willing to take a look at even at forward contract sales on new crop at this point. If you do it, I want to maintain some flexibility and probably, look out above the market and realm that call option like you were talking about. But there is opportunity on cash sales on the 21 crop that if it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, then don't do it, but at least give it some consideration as you're thinking about your risk management here on the new crop. Tommy, where you're mentioned about oil making the, this being the 1 year anniversary of the negative crude oil futures. It's got me thinking about the recovery from the shutdowns, the economic recovery, the timeline that it that we know that it's going to be a long timeline, but where are we on that timeline?
Like, how far is America from coming back?
Yeah.
Well, I watched Phil LeBeau on CNBC. He covers the airlines, and he always gives out that statistic of how many people traveled in America flying, and that's a real good one. So maybe at America's worst day, 65,000 people traveled in last March or April. And we're back up to like 1.4 million, 1.5 million, 1.6 million a day. And peak, like a Thanksgiving's like a 2.2. So a lot of people flying in one day in America is 2.2 million. Not a lot. It's 50,000. We're back at 1.6, 1.7. I've traveled a lot the last few weeks, and it feels like normal again. Just everyone's wearing masks through the airport. And, God, there's a lot of people who have money and have come into money for different various reasons, and they want to travel. So I think America's a go. Unfortunately, almost every restaurant and business I've went into has a help wanted sign. So the conundrum is currently the United States government is paying people more to stay home than they could make in a service sector job. And I don't know how to fix that. I'm not running for office. You don't need to vote for me. And, but I don't know how to fix that. But I have went to restaurants that are closed on Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays, and they just open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday because they can't get help. And so I don't know if you're seeing that where you live. I'm seeing it across the Chicagoland area, the North Dakota area. It's amazing. Just amazing. Help wanted signs everywhere.
I see it. Davis, are you seeing the help wanted at the convenience stores?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Just about all of them. Yep.
Right. Right. So I think it is happening. And I think it's, you know, we continue to talk about needing to get about, 6 million people back to work, something like that. I think the opportunity is out there, Tommy. I just, like you said, there's got to be incentive to those potential employees to actually get back to work. So we're pushing it. We're pushing it. What in the commodity world concerns you the most into 2021?
Not being able to get something. So say you, not what the price of something costs, but not having it. It breaks my heart that ethanol companies can't physically get corn. And it wasn't the price that was bothering them. It's the physicalness. Or a drain tile company can't get the product. I think it's called resin. So you need resin to make tile. You need resin to make a lot of things, five-gallon pickle bucket, whatever. So it bothers me a lot that the American farmer listening to this broadcast right now can't get a certain plastic ring for a tractor, regardless of the brand, that the American farmer has the best prices in 10 years and they can't get a $6 part that will depend if that tractor is going to, you have a $400,000 machine crippled by a $5 part. That bothers me. This is America. Our supply chain should have been better than that. We should have been better than that. So we all got used to just in time. Just in time. I'm an ethanol company. There'll be corn for me. I'm a farmer. I go to the John Deere store. They'll have the part. Not this year, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great point. And that's an interesting perspective on what to be concerned about. And I appreciate that a lot. Tommy, it's always fun to talk with you, my friend. Let's stay in touch. And hopefully we'll see each other here pretty soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, everyone.
All right. That's Tommy Grisafi, Advanced Trading. Not being able to get something that they need. It's not a question of price. It's a question of availability. That's interesting. Davis and I will be back to wrap things up here in a moment.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Flexibility, flexibility, flexibility. Talking about it some more in your marketing strategies. You've got to maintain it. And at the same time, you know, like Tommy was using the guys that were trading crude oil a year ago right now as an example of how bad things can go for a commodity trader. Okay.
Yep.
Just how terribly, awfully bad things can go. I love it how he described how he said that, hey, I can't go home long when he was trading corn at the at the Chicago Board of Trade. Couldn't go home long. I shouldn't say no anymore. Good grief, it's been 25 years. I knew so many local traders. I had such admiration for what the local trader did on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade, Davis. They reminded me of farmers and the farmers that I grew up around. I mean, same personality, same work ethic. At that time, I was still gaining an understanding of what farming really was, and I've learned to accept and acknowledge and understand that it is risk. First and foremost, farming is risk. What were those guys doing every day? They were taking on risk. They were the portal. Those local traders were the portal for a farmer to transfer the risk that they no longer wanted to somebody that was willing to accept it. And so much of that trade happened through those local traders. I had so much respect for what they did down there on the floor. The liquidity, that's the word I'm looking for. The liquidity that they generated inside of that pit. As soon as a commercial trader, somebody that was filling paper for one of the, as soon as he started getting bogged down a little bit and started to realize, doggone it, wait a second, I got to make sure that I'm exactly where I need to be.
Right.
They would just still be getting swamped with sell offers. The traders are all over them. And a local would step in and start taking up, start to absorb some of that action. Knowing that at some point they were going to get out for a quarter of a cent better than what they just bought it at. They did everything for a quarter of a cent, Davis. Quarter of a cent at a time. It was fantastic. But they would not go home long. They would not go home long. Wouldn't carry that risk with them overnight. They wouldn't go home short either. Now, there may be times where they would say, you know what, I'm going to take a big bet, and I'm going to leave a contract or two on, and I'm going to carry it with me over the holiday weekend. Yeah, it's going to make the beer won't taste as good, and the hot dogs won't be as good, and I'm not going to have as much fun watching baseball knowing that I've got this position on, but I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to take a big bet through a holiday weekend, something like that. They'd do it. They would do it, but they would do it on a small scale. They wouldn't do it with a half a million bushel in the bin or even 100,000 bushel in the bin. 20 contracts? Are you freaking kidding me, Davis? The 20 contracts through a holiday weekend or on a bet position for a local trader on the floor of the Board of Trade would have been – some of them did it. Some of them did it. But for the majority, no way. And that local trader was the first one there in the morning. They had out trades that had to be settled in some cases. But the local traders and the desk managers were down on the floor doggone early. They all got there after me, though. I'm telling you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
A young go-getter.
You better believe it. You better believe it. I'd get to the trading floor. Eddie would take the chain off the door, let me onto the floor, and then put the chain back on the door behind me.
Huh.
Yeah. Yep.
You because still talk to Eddie?
That's
Eddie's
where...
still around?
No. Eddie is not still around. No.
All right. Okay.
It was a fascinating time. It was a fascinating time, and the point being, manage your risk. You don't want to wake up tomorrow morning out, 25 cents on 2 million bushels of corn or something like that.
Right. Well, and in our unofficial poll about weather anxiety.
Yes.
He's a 9.
His
anxiety
went straight
is
to it.
9.
Yeah, believe it or not, Tommy went to an extreme on
and a 10. So if you're just tuning in, a 1 on our 1 to 10 scale, a 1 is a record yield, a 10 is a 2012 or worse disaster.
Right.
Crop-wise.
Exactly.
And Tommy G's a 9.
We started this with Phil Conrad on Friday.
Yep.
And he came in at a 6.5. Jim Bauer yesterday split it. For corn, he was a 2.5, and soybeans a 3.5, and Tommy came at us with a 9. And last Friday, I went ahead and put my number in at a 7.5. And
that's right.
A big part of that is because of the dry conditions in the Western Belt and because of the tight supply that we've got going into the 2021 growing season. The supply side cushion is very, very low. Okay, so that
and you
got
to wonder if that's what's gotten into basis. Yeah, if that's finally starting to show up in basis.
Well, it could be, but I think it's just a simple fact, like Tommy was saying, these guys don't want to get caught short. When you've got one job to do at a processing company, and that one job is to make sure that you've got product and raw product that can be processed, you don't want to get caught not having it.
Yep.
So, you know, this is the old hashtag, you had one job, don't fail.
Yeah.
A verdict has been reached in the Derek Chauvin trial.
Oh.
This is the George Floyd murder case.
Yep.
Boy, take a moment, take a breath, say a prayer, because it feels like it is going to be an active night in American cities, regardless of the outcome and what the verdict says. It is going to be read shortly. Tomorrow morning, Alan Hoskins, American Farm Mortgage, and we've got a farmer forum with Nick from Iowa and Luke from Nebraska.